Luke chapter 2, 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me one more time as we come to meditation? Heavenly Father, I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to your word this morning, that we would hear your truth, we would hear your voice, that we would be brought into your presence. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. As the shop owner looked out from his stall, the canvas over top and the table laid out in front of him with figs and dates, some other assorted various fruits, he thought, "This is a good time to be alive. This is a good time to be here." Now, normally the government gets in the way. And normally the government is going to make some rules and have some things that cause him problems, but not this time, not this year. This was a good year. For the government, all hail Caesar, had said, "I'm bored, so I need to count everybody. It's too peaceful. We need something for the soldiers to do." At least that's what the shopkeeper thought was really behind it. And so he said, "Well, I'm going to count everybody, but to make it easier, I'm going to send everybody to their ancestral towns to be counted." And so as the shopkeeper stood there watching the floods of people enter into his, what usually was a fairly quiet and small community of Bethlehem, he was thinking, cha-ching. What a good time this is going to be. Now, he did sympathize just a little bit. He did sympathize just a little bit with the people who had to travel great distances. Yes, this was going to be an inconvenience for them, and there would be some expenses. And after a time, of course, they would need some extra provisions, some extra food. And he would provide that at a reasonable price, of course. But what a good time it was to be alive. And so he waited, and he greeted people. And he saw people, well, he hadn't seen them for years and years, and grandsons and granddaughters. People coming and enjoying for family, weary from the road and ready to rest, hungry, thirsty. All stopping at his table, ready to receive and to eat. But he was a shrewd man. He was not one of those just going to stand by the side and do what he could. He was an interesting business. He was a shrewd businessman. He was ready to do even more than he needed to. Now, he knew that in Bethlehem there was already a couple of inns, you know, a couple of places where people could stay. And most people would come and stay with their families, but the houses are pretty small. A business had been good for him. And so he had an upper room, an upper couple of rooms in his house. None of his family were coming back. They were passed away at this point, and so he wasn't expecting any extra guests. And so he thought, you know, I've got this extra room, and I can have people stay at our house for a price, of course. And so he was eager to get home after close of business to see how many people would be at his door ready to pay a little bit for shelter, a roof over his head, space to be able to sleep and to rest. And now he was going to be able to charge a premium price, much like the regular inns, because he also had a stable just out back attached. It wasn't much, more of a cave really, but it was dry and it was out of the elements, and there weren't very many animals in it because it was just him and his wife, and how many animals did they need? So there was lots of room. And so he was looking forward to it. Later that evening, he had everybody settled in. He had filled the room up as best as he could, and there was still people who were going other places and finding places to sleep. The stable was full of animals and lots of hay. It had been a good start to the week. It had been a good start to the season. And as time went on, the days passed, and people stayed, and more people came and gathered, and more families came together, and he managed to squeeze a few more people in. Maybe he opened up a room on the main level, and he had a few more people. It was, you know, got to buy himself a new robe for Christmas. And he's saying, this is just a wonderful, wonderful time. People were getting a little bit anxious. He started to notice this because they had to stay for a long time. The Romans weren't in any real hurry to get the counting done. So they worked at what could very loosely be called banker's hours. And by loosely, he meant if you took the banker's hours and cut them in half, that might be when you would find the people there counting and doing the census. But, you know, most of the people weren't too bad about it because they had a good chance to reconnect with family and all the parties that were happening. Man, they would start early in the morning and the revelry would go on until late at night. Sometimes it was a little annoying because he would have liked some sleep, but it was a good sound. It was a good time. It was a good thing because that meant for him more people were buying food. And he was the one who sold it. That meant more people were in town, and he was the one who could provide some extra room because all the other places were filled up. It was a good time. The party had ended. The revelers had all gone home. I'm sure there's a few people running around a little bit, and, you know, singing some off-key and slightly ill-worded songs, but they were off in the distance. It wasn't too bad. And he had just laid down for a night's sleep. People would be leaving shortly. There was only a couple of days left, and most people had been counted now, and they would be leaving, and he was looking forward to it. He was tired. His wife was tired. It was time. And so, as he was laying down, he thought he heard some people quietly walking by. He wasn't too sure. It was a broken twig, a snap, or some rocks that got scuffled there. And he thought, what's going on? What's going on? So he got up out of bed and he grabbed a cudgel from beside that. You can't be too careful with this many strangers in town. And so he grabbed a cudgel and slowly went downstairs and out of the house and to look what was going on, and he saw the strangest sight. The strangest thing was happening at his stable. There were shepherds in his stable. Why are there shepherds in my stable? Which was the question he was going to ask when he got there. Why are you in my stable without any sheep? It seems odd. So he went a little bit closer, he saw that they were gathered around a young couple. Now this young couple, he had forgotten about them. I mean, they were in the stable after all and weren't really paying. Oh yeah. Those couple. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder how they're doing. Why are the shepherds meeting them? And he paused as he was going and stopped to remember, how did they get there in the first place? Oh yeah, right. Right. I remember now I had just closed up shop and had was getting ready to gather in, and I saw them coming into town. It was late. Most everybody had already arrived, and here they were, and he was pulling a donkey behind him, and on the back of the donkey sat a young lady. They're both quite young. It looked like they'd traveled quite a distance and were quite tired, and he wondered, I wonder who they belong to. I wonder where they're going to stay. There's not much room left anymore, and they look like they could use a place. They have an animal that's going to limit their choice is a little bit, but it, you know, the weather's all right. They can sleep outside. It's okay. And then as they got closer, he noticed that she was expecting, and not just expecting, she was quite ready to be done expecting. And he thought, oh, this might not go well for them. And so he watched as they went from house to house and from inn to inn. Of course, the first place you would look is the inn, and finding nowhere to go, they seemed to be a little dejected and a little defeated. So they went to a couple of houses, and based on the conversation or what little that he could see of the animated discussion, it seemed that perhaps they might have been trying to find housing with some distant relatives. And of course, that would make sense. They're here for the census, after all, and you're supposed to go to where you came from, where you will have relatives. But would you believe none of the relatives were taking them in? Well, that didn't seem right for this man, but you know, it's their business, not his. It got darker and it got a little colder. And he left his light on just a little bit longer than he normally would. Maybe just watching a bit. And the young man eventually came to the door and said, I don't suppose you have a room. We can pay. My wife is, well, she's ready to have a baby, and I'm not really sure I want to do that on the back of a donkey. Maybe there's some room. And he said, well, I don't have any room in that house. And in fact, my wife and I are sleeping on the couch in the living room because we've got so many people here, but there's room in my stable. It's not much, but the hay is clean, and there's enough animals to help keep some body warmth there I have a blanket for you if it would help. I won't charge too much. Well, thank you very much, he said. And the young lady went off to the stable, and he hadn't heard or seen from them since. And so now to find not just them awake in the stable, but a crowd gathered around of shepherds, people who don't usually come to town, it seemed very odd indeed. And so he got a little bit closer and discovered that she had in fact given birth. Well, it was a baby that I heard crying earlier. Well, how about that? Yeah, what do I know? And he got a little bit closer, and the child was all wrapped in cloths and fairly content for a newborn baby at that point. She looked tired but happy, and he looked freaked out, overwhelmed, and scared, but that's what fathers do. And the shepherds were there. What's going on? What's happened? Oh, sir, the most wonderful thing has happened this night. Really? I've seen babies before. Now, odd, granted, in the stable's odd, but what do you mean? Oh, we were out in the fields tending our flocks. Let me tell you the story. And suddenly, in the stillness of the night, the sky exploded into life. Angels, beings, frighteningly bright beings appeared before us, and one of them spoke and said, don't be afraid. Well, of course we were scared, but he said, don't be afraid, and that somehow calmed us. He said, for tonight, a Savior is born to you in Bethlehem. Go find him. So we did. We've never done anything like this before. We don't even know what happened to our sheep. We hope they're okay, but this was more important than our jobs, than our livelihood, than our sheep. And this is what we found. Just as the angels said. And so, sorry, we've got to go tell everybody. And so, the shepherds left. Just like that. Innkeeper standing there. Well, not really an innkeeper. With the cudgel in hand. What, how, who, it, do you need a blanket? I didn't quite know what to do, except he knew he couldn't leave. Something special was happening here. Well, the shepherds, they went all through the town. They knocked on doors. They stood people up who had been partying a little too long. They talked to every single person they could find, telling them the story, telling them what they had found. And people began to gather, not in a crazy mob, not in a party atmosphere, but in reverence, in awe. They began to gather around that stable to see this very special baby that heaven itself announced. It was awesome. People had traveled, had journeyed from far and wide. They thought to be counted, but in fact, to see and meet Jesus. What a wonderful story that is. In this season of Advent, as we wander, well, we're not going to wander through, but as we approach Christmas, I want to invite you to go on a journey with me to Bethlehem. I want to encourage you to take time to participate in the center of the action. Because there were people all through Scripture who traveled, who journeyed to Bethlehem. They didn't always know why they got there. They didn't always know how they got there or the purpose, but they were there nonetheless. How do you, this Christmas season, get to Bethlehem? How do you arrive at the manger? Do you zip in a blitz of family gatherings and parties? Do you run around and have enough packages and gifts and bags that you can throw under a tree and, whew, we've got Christmas covered? Do you perhaps maybe just want to run away and hide because it's all so busy? That might be my desire a little bit. But how do you journey to Bethlehem? Everyone journeys there somehow this Advent season. And so we want to explore the journeys of different people. And as we do that each Sunday, I hope that you will find your journey and your response to arriving at the manger. When the shepherds told the townspeople of what they had seen, the only response, Scripture tells us, the only response we know was one of amazement. Something extraordinary was happening, and they got to be a part of it. Something extraordinary is going to happen for you this Advent season. Be a part of it. Be amazed at the baby who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we journey this year, as we move toward Christmas, to remembering and celebrating your son's birth, that it wouldn't just be something else we do, but that it would be the point of our travels, the point of our moving, the point of our study, the point of our discipline, the point of what we do to come find you in the manger. That we would be amazed by the gift that you've given. And Father, in that amazement, our response would be to go and tell. For it is a wonderful thing that cannot be kept silent. Thank you, Lord, for your gift. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.